Namaste, Sego, Wache, and hello. You are listening to Indigenous Waves Radio Show on CIUT 89.5 FM, and it is a good day to be Indigenous. Just to tell you a little bit about our radio show, Indigenous Waves is a celebration of Indigenous cultures locally, nationally, and globally. Through music, storytelling, interviews, panel discussions, art, and humor, we explore the diversity of Indigenous peoples. Indigenous Waves is heard every Monday at 4 p.m. on CIUT. My name is Susan Blight, and I am your host. Our show is produced by Indigenous Waves executive producer Jemias DaCosta. Our news is prepared by Aruna Boodram, and our events listings by Chrissy Smith. The track that opened our show is A Tribe Called Red with Electric Powwow Drum. On today's Indigenous Waves, we are going to be speaking with Arnell Tailfeathers. Arnell was present on February 7th at Kenai High School when Prime Minister Stephen Harper, Aboriginal Affairs Minister Bernard Valcourt, and National Chief Sean Atleo made the announcement on the FNEA, the First Nations Education Act, agreement. You might remember a few weeks back, we did a show with Twyla Singer, who was also present at that event and was actually asked to leave. So it's going to be great to talk to Arnell and get a sense of what he saw on that day. As well, you might remember Arnell Tailfeathers has been on our show, Indigenous Waves, multiple times, and it's always good to get his perspective on things. And we're going to go right to our interview with Arnell Tailfeathers on Indigenous Waves, CIUT 89.5 FM. So welcome, Arnell Tailfeathers, to Indigenous Waves for the third time. Thanks for being on our show.
Hi. Yeah, thanks for having me.
It's great to hear your voice and have you back on the show.
Yeah, you're welcome.
So you're on the show today to talk about an event that occurred a few weeks ago. We did have Twyla Singer, who you know, on our show previously to talk about her sort of account of what happened on that day. But if you could talk a little bit, Arnell, about the visit to Kenai High School by Prime Minister Stephen Harper. So how and when did you hear that the event was going to happen?
We heard about the event through social media, through our Facebook. One of my friends posted a status about Harper, Atleo, and Valcourt coming to Kenai High School. So I think that was on a Tuesday. I read that. I didn't know what she was talking about, because that was, you know, news to me. I'd never heard anything about that. So we started talking, or we were chatting about it, and that she said that's what she had heard from it. And then I told some other people about it. I posted my own status about it on Facebook. Then someone else was seeing another status from, one of the staff members at the high school was right. Talking about it too. So mm-hmm. We were getting a little suspicious of that. And then I think later that evening I went to Twitter and made a tweet about it just to see if I can get any info about it or if anyone knew what I was talking about.
Right.
That was on Tuesday. Wednesday, we didn't hear. It's kind of the same thing. We didn't. We kind of knew, but we didn't have any kind of press release or news link or anything like that to really kind of verify it. Just more word of mouth, I guess, from staff and I guess some of the students too. From what I heard that was going around our own network on the reserve, like our Facebook network on the reserve.
Right.
And I think it was Wednesday night. There was someone posted an email from the National Chief Atleo about the announcement on Friday. So right there was kind of, I guess that was kind of really verified it for us. And it word kind of spread. I think that was on Wednesday, I believe. Yeah, Wednesday night.
Okay. So it sounds as though, you know, you mentioned that a lot of the information was transmitted sort of by word of mouth and social media. Was there ever a formal announcement made to community members that this event would be happening at Kenai High School in regards to the First Nations Education Act?
There was an announcement on Thursday, the day before, from our band council. They put out a press release about it, and also on the Thursday, the Prime Minister's office released a news. Did a press release confirming the visit and the time, and on both of them, it had said that all guests were welcome to attend.
Okay.
It was open to everybody.
It said it was open to everybody.
Yeah, that's what I believe it had said.
Okay.
On that.
Do you have a sense of, Arnel, why perhaps the federal government chose Treaty 7 territory? Like, why did they choose the Blood Reserve to make the announcement about the FNEA? What's your opinion on that?
Well, I think one of the reasons is probably because we have a pretty good our education system's pretty good on our reserve. I guess they are our educators and our the people who work there. You know, they've made it work so far with what's been given to them to work with their resources and their staff.
Right.
And we also have a high level of post-secondary students as well who attend universities and colleges.
Okay.
So, and I believe, and we also already, we have a board, like a education board, already working on our reserve. So I think that's probably one of the reasons why we were chosen to, for the announcement to be done here.
Right. So going to that day on the Friday, first of all, you were there at the event, is that correct?
Yeah, I was there.
Okay, so you were there. From your account, what exactly happened? Arnel, did you see people being asked to leave?
Yeah, I did. I didn't actually get into the gymnasium with everyone else. I was actually in the media. I got in with the media to take pictures of the event. But those were in separate locations in the high school. The media event was happening in the theater auditorium, and everyone else was put into the gymnasium to watch on a projector and listen over the speakers.
Okay, so I remember, sorry to interrupt you, but I remember Twyla mentioning that there were some people who were put into a space where they watched live, or they were able to be there while it was happening live, and then there were people who were put in another space where they were watching it on the monitor. So
yeah.
you were in the area with where it was happening live, is that right?
Yeah, where everyone was gathered. It was kind of a small theater auditorium.
Okay.
I was in the back with the media, all the other media people. So I wasn't in the gymnasium, and I didn't witness anyone, you know, getting escorted out.
Yeah.
But I did see people come out afterwards, like when I was waiting outside with some of the other protesters. I'd seen people come out.
Yeah, so this explains when Twyla had mentioned, when she was on Indigenous Ways a few weeks ago, she mentioned that when she was asked to leave and she was escorted out, that she was looking for you. So that explains it. So you were in another area from Twyla at that time.
Yeah, we kind of got separated because I went back to my vehicle to grab something. And then I had come back and they were already letting people in. So we were separated. She got in where most people were going in, and I went in through with the media. I wasn't sure if I'd be able to get in with the media, because I don't, I'm not really affiliated with any verified news source.
Right.
Just kind of social media, I guess.
Yeah. You, on that day, when Twyla was asked to leave, there were other people as well. Do you have a sense of how many people were asked to leave?
I think at least 20 people.
Wow.
I would estimate. Because we had, there was, I think there was some people who had gone in with some signs. I think they had some Stop Harper signs. They must have snuck them in. But, you know, they're just signs.
Yeah. So those people with the Stop Harper signs were asked to leave the event because of that?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. They waited. Because I think Twyla was probably one of the first people to be escorted out. But the other people with the signs, I think they kind of waited for Harper and the others to make their way to the gymnasium to eat.
Right.
And then I think they held up their signs. I think that's what they, or they stood up. I'm not sure if they stood, but they were in the bleachers with everyone else. That's when they pulled out their signs.
So to your knowledge and or in your opinion, Darnell, were people being asked to leave because they were displaying resistance to either the presence of Prime Minister Harper and Aboriginal Affairs Minister Bernard Valcourt, or that they were openly resisting the FNEA? To your knowledge, is this why people were asked to leave?
Well, I think, in Twyla's case, she wasn't really doing anything.
Right.
I think she was just on her phone, or she was using her daughter's phone. But she wasn't really, I wouldn't really call that a form of resistance if you're just on your phone, I mean, you're there, but I think that they had a way of sorting out, who's who, I guess, on a reserve. And also, who was not really invited from outside the reserve? Because we had a few people from Lethbridge, a few non-native people come in to the event because they don't really like Harper too much.
Okay. See, you're pretty well known for being active. In Idle No More and Indigenous rights and those kinds of things. You know, we've had you on the show now. It's almost, I think it's been close to a year or maybe perhaps more when you and Levi Little Mustache posted the video of Tom Flanagan. That was a big story. So, you're well known for that, for your participation in these things and your active resistance of these things. So do you have a sense of why you were allowed in with the media?
Well, I guess I got in, I gave them a website. A friend of mine told me to just, if you need to get in as a media, just use our website. And I think it was Native Voices Online.
Okay.
in the U.S. I gave them that. I just told them sometimes I contribute to their stories, which is partially true. I think my pictures end up on there or something, but so I gave them that, and I told them I was also a member of the community as well. So they just kind of let me in. I guess they weren't too worried. I guess they were giving me some lineage because I was from the community.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to go there with the media, and I had all my cameras with me.
Yeah.
Plus a video camera.
Yeah.
So I was able to get in, and then about 10 minutes before before it started, the CSIS agent came up to me, and he looked at my badge number, and he asked me, are you going to give us any trouble?
What?
And,
oops, sorry.
Yeah,
sorry, my reaction was so wrong. Go ahead, sorry.
Yeah, that's what he asked me, and I told him, no, I just wanted to... I just wanted to take pictures and video, and I didn't say anything to him after that. I just looked away. But I had a CSIS agent standing behind me during the whole thing at all times. It was kind of intimidating.
Mm-hmm.
I overheard him talking to someone on their ear system thingy. He said he had to go use the bathroom, so they had to switch guards for me. It was really intimidating. He was looking at all the pictures I took. I didn't want to zoom in too close on the prime minister with my pictures. And I couldn't really text either, nor could I change my lenses because I had a backpack with all my camera lenses in it, all my other camera supplies, and I couldn't. I felt like I couldn't make any sudden movements.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Yeah, I understand that. There was a CSIS agent there who asked you, Arnell, saw your nameplate and asked you if you were going to give them any trouble that day.
Yeah, he asked that.
And then they proceeded to watch you for the whole event.
Yeah, they watched me, and afterwards they took my pass from me, so I couldn't go to the gymnasium.
Okay.
After it was over.
I see. Okay. So that day, you know, you did watch the proceedings, I guess. What were your overall thoughts of the event itself, of the presence of Prime Minister Harper and Bernard Valcourt and National Chief Sean Atleo making this announcement? What are your overall thoughts on it?
Well, I guess it's really, I guess in the moment, I was really... I was overtaken with emotion. I also felt really intimidated. With the presence of the agent standing over my back. I guess some of the words stuck in my head. Some of them didn't, because it felt almost like a dream state. I guess almost just kind of really surreal.
Yeah.
I didn't really agree with most of the stuff, most of the things they talked about. I just kind of felt wrong, well, to me personally.
Yeah.
Just the way they were framing the whole issue, I didn't. I found it to be really kind of propaganda-ish, I guess. Could say,
yeah,
they're not giving out like all the specifics. They're just kind of focused on the money aspect, the title itself, First Nations control of First Nations education, but also that it's within, I guess, is it a framework they have to do that within? There's restrictions on how they're going to actually, you know, do this implementation.
Yeah, there's the framework and the funding agreement as well.
Yeah, I got to look up on that stuff. Sorry.
How do you feel about Kenai leadership being there and supporting the announcement, or at least, at the very least, the presence of them there is... it's a bit of an implicit, at least, agreement with it. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I guess it is. It's kind of, well, to me, it kind of seems like it's kind of an endorsement, I guess, just with the presence of being there. But on the Thursday, they had released our tribal council's position on the First Nations Education Act. They said that they were opposed to it.
Oh.
So that was released on this Thursday, but also our council members, they did not wear their regalia, like their headdresses. They didn't wear that to the event. And it's noticeable in one of my pictures. I think we only had one counselor wearing his headdress. The other ones, they didn't wear them.
Okay.
So, and that was a sign of opposition to it.
Right.
I guess their hands are kind of tied, I suppose. I suppose you can say.
In terms of the Kenai Nation leadership, you did post a video, Arnell, on your YouTube account, and I saw it via your Twitter, of Chief Charles Weaselhead of the Kenai Nation facing protesters while he was leaving the FNEA event. Do you want to tell us a little bit about what you saw in regards to that video?
Well, with the video, he basically just walked out. He had an escort with him, walking him to his vehicle, and he didn't seem open to any kind of discussion, I guess, about, you know, what had just happened, what had just occurred. But he basically just got in his vehicle, and then his wife came. They both got in, and then they drove off without really talking to the people there. They were pretty, a lot of them were really, they were really mad, I guess, too.
Yeah.
The protesters, our people that were there.
Yeah, it did seem, it seemed that way from the video, that they were angry, you know, particularly at him for doing that. There were some pretty harsh words said towards him.
Yeah. There was a lot of harsh words.
Do you think that video is a good indication of the resistance to the FNEA in your community?
It's kind of hard to gauge, I guess. I wouldn't want to really speak about how much resistance there actually is within the community, because I'm not entirely sure.
Okay.
There was a lot of people upset over the whole ordeal, like about the Harper visit, the whole, like what it kind of did, I guess.
Yeah.
Old feuds, I guess, too, within the community. There's also that occurring as well, I guess, in the aftermath of his visit. But with the resistance, so I'm not sure. I wouldn't want to speak for how much there actually is. I don't know.
Yeah, I understand. I do, in terms of resistance, there was sort of a campaign that sprung up after this event happened, and the news broke that Twyla, for instance, had been asked to leave and escorted out, and some other folks as well were asked to leave. I know that you've been sort of involved in this sort of blue dot movement, I guess, or a campaign. I'm not sure the right word for what this is, but I'm wondering, Arnell, if you can talk a little bit about the blue dot, like what it represents and how it relates to the FNEA.
Well, the blue dot, it came from what it was given to the people who were not on the invited list to the event. They were given blue dots. Everyone else was given yellow dots. Even the AFN chiefs themselves had yellow dots. If you look at my pictures, you'll see some of them wearing their yellow dots. So, but that's kind of where it came from, this blue dot, yellow dot system that they were using that day. I guess that pretty much marked some of the people. It was an indicator for the CSIS agents and the tribal police as to who to look out for, and I guess who to try remove, I guess.
Right.
I think the online campaign is really great, though. It's spreading the awareness about it. I guess is the Prime Minister going to be using the same system, this yellow dot, blue dot system, for the next reserve he visits? Does he use it for all his photo ops and press conferences? Does he always use that? Has it been seen before? So I guess I hope people are questioning that.
Yeah.
But the artist, Christy Belcourt, she was the one that started putting blue dots in historical context for other other Indigenous people have spoken out against the government, like Louis Riel.
Yeah.
And like how it's still, I guess how it's still relevant today. The Blue Dot.
So in terms of the movement now, it did, you're right, it spread very quickly, I think, on social media. I began seeing them on a lot of people's profile pictures, and of course I saw Christie's series of Blue Dot photos via her Twitter account. So are people, like, how does it work? Do people put the Blue Dot on their own picture, or how does, because I don't have a Blue Dot, so I want one. I feel like I should have one, you know? So how does it work?
Who gets the Blue Dot?
Yeah.
I guess it's whoever's uninvited, I guess, to the, I guess currently what's going on with, in terms of Harper's termination plan and all the other things occurring, I guess, you know.
Yeah. So it's anybody, kinda, it's anybody who's resisting.
Yeah, pretty much. Anybody who is resisting, I guess. Anybody who wants to ask questions, even.
Yeah.
You don't even have to, you know, be militant. You just, maybe if you just want dialogue, you know, that's also what it represents.
Yeah. Well, I really love it, because I feel like it reverses that in a way, and that would become, you know, that thing that might have been negative, like, you know, you have this Blue Dot, you're the uninvited, or you're trouble. And taking that and wearing it proudly, I think, is a really kind of beautiful thing, you know?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Well, I want to thank you, Arnell, for joining us once again and for giving us your perspective on what happened on February 7th with the FNEA announcement. Thank you so much, Arnell.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Okay, take care. Keep in touch.
You too.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye. We were just speaking with Arnell Tailfeathers of the Blood Tribe, the Kainai Nation. And he was on the phone talking to us about what happened in his community when Prime Minister Harper, Aboriginal Affairs Minister Bernard Valcourt, and National Chief Sean Atliot did travel there to make the announcement of the First Nations Education Act agreement between the AFN and the federal government. And it was good to speak with him. He's been on our show in the past, so please do visit indigenouswaves.com and Google, or do a search for Arnell Tailfeathers, and you'll find the other stories that he has actually done on our show as well. So thank you so much to Arnell.